Good morning, it's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Wonderful to have you with us. A lot going on in this second hour today. Coming up, we'll take a look at CES Las Vegas, the gadget show. All kinds of new things that have been unveiled, and we hear that 5G is much more ready for prime time, the ability for people to connect in their homes wirelessly and to be able to have higher levels of communications. We'll talk about that. Also, Facebook announcing it's going to ban what are called deepfakes, but satirical content will be exempt from that. Will Facebook's algorithms be able to accurately identify what's a satirical faked video or image versus something that is done in an effort to mislead the public? We'll get to that later this hour. But first, SB 50, controversial bill in the state legislature that's designed to add density in housing to areas with public transit availability and places that are job centers. In other words, where there's a mismatch between the number of jobs and the number of residents. With us is the author of the bill, State Senator Scott Weiner, who represents all of the city and county of San Francisco, as well as a number of neighboring communities. Senator Weiner, it's good to have you. Oh, we don't quite have him yet. Okay. We'll do our best to get him on the air here very shortly to talk about the new version of his bill. Now, this one provides for a couple of years for cities to come up with their own plans to spur greater density close to transit. But the question is this still going to be a threat as perceived in single-family neighborhoods, that big apartment complexes are going to go up in place of the single-family homes, changing the character of those communities? I believe we do have Senator Weiner now. Thank you, sir, for joining us again on Air Talk.
Thank you very much for having me.
So what are the revisions in the bill this time?
So we made two key amendments to the bill in response to feedback that we've received. The first is we now are giving more flexibility to cities to tailor SB 50 to meet their unique needs. And we're doing that by having a two-year delayed implementation of the bill. And during that two-year period, a city can decide to do nothing, in which case, at the end of the 2 years, the bill provisions kick in. Or alternatively, a city can come up with its own zoning plan that increases zoning for the same amount of housing that SB 50 would require, that doesn't create sprawl and doesn't just put all the housing in low-income neighborhoods, you know, that is equitable. And then if it complies with all of those criteria, then that plan is what will apply in a city. So we've heard loud and clear from cities that they want more flexibility, and we're giving them that flexibility. The other amendment is, you know, SB 50 is going to result in a lot more affordable housing being built in cities. We want to make sure that as affordable housing is built in our communities, that people who live in that community have first dibs, have priority in accessing that affordable housing. We want people to be able to stay in their own communities. So we amended the bill to create that priority system for local residents. So those are the two main amendments that we made.
But it sounds like for people that live in single-family communities that are along transit corridors, and Los Angeles has thousands and thousands of homes that are in communities like that, one way or the other, either by rezoning by the city or 2 years hence with SB 50 going into effect, those communities are going to see significant change.
The law will change after 2 years. But as we know that when it comes to development, nothing is fast. And so even when you change zoning, it's not like, you know, the minute the zoning changes, a bunch of apartment buildings, you know, spring up from the ground or descend from the sky. Change is very slow and gradual. And some people want that change to happen immediately, and they're frustrated it takes so long. Other people, you know, may be scared of it happening quickly. It's not going to happen fast. It's very gradual over time. And the thing to also understand about SB 50 is, for the most part, it defers to local height limits. So the local height limit generally won't change in a large majority of the geography covered by SB 50. SB 50 does not change local setback requirements, local design standards, local demolition restrictions. Cities will still have a lot of say. In addition, each project will still have to go through the same approval process it goes through now. So yes, will there be change? There will be. It will not be immediate. It'll be gradual. And cities will still have a lot of control and say about how things happen.
We're talking with State Senator Scott Wiener of San Francisco as he has put two amendments onto his bill, SB 50, which mandates higher density for areas of California that are around transit corridors and also in places where there are significant mismatches between the number of jobs and the number of residents. One such community is Beverly Hills, where there are many more jobs than residents. Later on, we're going to be talking with the mayor of Beverly Hills, John Mirisch, about how this would be affecting his community. I'd love to hear from you, your thoughts about it, or questions you'd like me to ask Senator Wiener about the amended bill, 866-893-KPECC, or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Gleno writes on the page, will this version of the bill protect historic landmark districts regardless of when they were designated? Such contiguous areas of historically significant architecture are deemed culturally and civically important by experts after a lengthy, rigorous process. For many towns and cities, they're an otherwise endangered precious resource that significantly contributes to the municipality's unique character, even as groupings of single-family homes, many of which this bill would replace, they typically add to urban forests, they attract both locals and visitors to wander amongst and enjoy, and bring tourism dollars to the local economy via immensely popular historic architectural tours. That's Gleno writing on the AirTalk page. Senator Wiener, does this exempt historic landmark districts?
This SB 50 does not in any way change how decisions are made around historic districts. It does not change historic building protections. It does not change the rules in historic districts. So, for example, in San Francisco, we have a historic preservation commission that serves as the planning commission for projects in historic districts. That kind of approval process will not change. So L.A. or San Francisco or any city that has a special permit that's required for historic districts, that special permit will still be required. Design standards will not change. Historic standards will not change. There's a narrative that I've heard about this getting rid of historic districts, and that is completely false.
All right. We have Michelle in Brentwood who asks, are there exclusions on building high-density housing in designated fire hazard severity zones?
So the bill does not apply in the what we call the very high wildfire risk zones or severity zones. So there's the very high-risk wildfire areas as designated by CAL FIRE, that's excluded from the bill entirely.
Now, you mentioned that development, the pace is very slow of that. But when you've got significant parts of Southern California with such a lack of housing, wouldn't there be the incentive for developers to come in, quickly buy single-family homes, raise those homes, put up multi-unit structures on those properties, and take advantage of the rent environment that we're in now? Why would that not happen within a few years' period of time?
Because cities under SB 50 will retain the complete authority to restrict demolitions and to approve or reject projects. So SB 50 does not change the authority of cities to make those decisions. And so there are some cities that are very permissive with demolitions. There are other cities that are very restrictive with demolitions. That'll be a decision made at the local level. But I think we also need to focus big picture here. We have a terrible housing crisis on our hands, a multi-million home shortage. Housing costs have exploded in L.A., in the Bay Area, in Orange County, in San Diego, all over. It's spreading inland, too. And it is harming our state. We have employers who can't find workers because the workers can't afford to live anywhere near where they work. We have kids who go to college and then can't move back to the community where they grew up unless they're going to live in their parents' basement. We have in LA tens of thousands of people in Los Angeles who are living in their cars, and that is an absolute moral outrage. 1 in 20 public school students in California is homeless. We have people, young families who are leaving the state, and we have more and more super commuters who are driving 2 hours each way to work, which is terrible in terms of freeway congestion and increased carbon emissions. So we need to get it together here in California. We have let the car go into the ditch, and it's time to do things differently. And that's what we're trying to do. SB 50 is not a silver bullet. We need to protect renters. We need more funding for affordable housing. We need to streamline housing approval. There's a lot of work we need to do. But when you have restrictive zoning that bans apartment buildings and bans affordable housing near transit stations and near job centers, that's just not sustainable. So that's why we're doing this.
We're talking with State Senator Scott Wiener of San Francisco. Senator, the bill was shelved temporarily by Senator Anthony Portantino of La Cañada Flint Ridge. You now have until January 31st to have this pass the Senate. In coming up with these two amendments dealing with gentrification and 2 years of local control, do you feel like you've now got enough support to get this through the Senate?
Yeah. And to be clear, you know, and Senator Portantino is my colleague and my friend, and we agree on a vast majority of things, and we actually have a really great relationship. We have a disagreement on this bill, and I respect that disagreement. We're all grown-ups, and we're all elected to make those decisions. But to be clear, that the bill was delayed not because the Senate voted to delay it. It was Senator Portantino, as chair of the committee, decided to delay it until January. And he was within his rights to do that, so I'm not criticizing him for doing it. But he made that choice as one senator. And so his decision to delay it was not, you know, does not reflect what the will of the entire Senate was. So now we're back.
I think we just lost Senator Wiener right there. But that's fine. I'm sure he's got much to do with shepherding this bill and trying to get it through the state Senate. If it passes, that would then go to the Assembly. Also with us, as I mentioned, the mayor of Beverly Hills, John Mirisch. Mayor Mirisch, thank you for being with us. What sort of an effect would this amended SB 50 have on your city?
Well, I'd like to look at not just the effect it has on our city, but on all the diverse communities throughout Southern California. It's really, despite all of the rhetoric, a kind of a one-size-fits-all solution. In our city, it would actually probably lead to a lot more luxury housing because it's a market rate bill. It's not something that would lead to affordable housing, which is a myth that Senator Wiener perpetuated. And so it really doesn't address the core issues of the housing challenges we have in our state. It really is a bill, if you ask me, it could have been written by the Trump administration or Blackstone. And it's, as Zev Yaroslavsky, former county supervisor, said, it is a real estate bill. It's not a housing bill.
But the sorts of profits that the real estate industry could make on this would be as a result of building many more units, right? So there are those who would argue the greater good here, despite it enriching developers, is it's going to be a lot more places for people to live. And even if it is, in large part in your community, higher-end housing, presumably that still has some degree of effect on the overall supply in the market. You disagree with that?
I do disagree because I don't think building more Porsches reduces the price of Priuses. I think if we want affordable housing, which is where we have a need, then we have to think of policies to do that rather than what you've described as a typical Mundell Laffer kind of Reaganomic trickle-down theory. And I don't think that that works. I think there's other issues at play, like global capital parking money, that will do nothing to alleviate the supply of affordable housing. And that's what we need. We need affordable and we need supportive housing. And as a real estate bill, SB 50 really doesn't do that. It shouldn't be called the More Homes Bill. It should be called, if anything, the More Real Estate Speculation and Free Air Rights Bill, because that's what it is doing. It's giving away free air rights. And no, I don't think it adds to the greater good. I think actually what it will do is it will perhaps increase, add to the amount of people in the already most dense urban area in the U.S. without solving any of the problems.
Let's talk with Zell in Hancock Park. Zell, what do you think of this amended SB 50?
I think it's kind of a joke that Senator Weiner would tell any of us that this is a bill that preserves any kind of local control. We already know the local control doesn't exist. What's happening right now in every one of our neighborhoods, in every city in California, is development that is completely spurned by developers who have the kind of money that they can build a new luxury condo complex and leave it half empty until they find the people who are going to pay a premium price for it. So the idea that this is some kind of an advancement for housing is really just a joke. And I think that the senator knows that because the senator lives in San Francisco, where this kind of trend began and has taken root most insidiously. So I think we need to be really honest about what's happening here and about what the center of power is. And it's not in the assembly and it's not in the governor's office. It's with developers.
Zell, I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Mayor Mirisch of Beverly Hills, what kind of an effect do you think this potentially has on your residential population if this is passed?
Well, that's a good question. The important thing is it's going to completely change the DNA of our community, as it will the other 87 cities in LA County. Each city has its own unique DNA. We have, what people don't know, 50% of our residents are renters, 62% of our residents already live in multifamily housing, and we've had stable population and job base for half a century. And I think stability is good. If you look at the word stability, it's literally contained within the concept sustainability. And that's what we should be looking at. Instead of trying to make the already most dense urban areas in the U.S., which are in this order, L.A., San Francisco, and San Jose, more dense, we should be looking at addressing the jobs housing imbalance, which is behind the issues that Senator Weiner discusses. And that would mean adopting policies like we have in Sweden, which is a country where I'm also a citizen of, that aim to make mid-size and smaller cities livable and places where people want to be. We need to create some sort of balance and some sort of equilibrium instead of pursuing what Greta Thunberg would say are these fairy tales of eternal economic growth. What Senator Weiner is suggesting is simply not sustainable. And he'll tell you, well, he's not going to tell people where to live. But by not providing opportunities in other areas, in underserved areas, in struggling areas of the state and the country, for that matter, he is effectively telling people where to live.
Mayor Mirisch, should Beverly Hills have significantly more residential units than it does now?
I would argue, because we've had the same number of residents for about 50 years without any of this, that we're pretty much where we should be. And you look at our levels of density, we're already at a level of density on a parity with cities like Denver and Cleveland and Detroit. And if you look at the area where I live, which is not 90210, which contains some hillside areas and that sort of thing, but 90211 and 90212, where a majority of our residents live, the density levels are already at levels comparable with Chicago and Miami. So I would argue that the stability that we have is actually good. And I would argue, however, if we were going to significantly increase our job base, you know, an ad like Culver City is doing, 8,000 new tech jobs, then we would have a responsibility and need to provide additional housing. And there are certain proposals out there that ask for full mitigation, because, as said, I believe the root of our housing challenges is this jobs-housing imbalance.
Has your ratio of job to resident stayed pretty much consistent over recent decades?
Yeah, I've asked our planning department, and absolutely. I mean, we do, as you correctly point out, have more jobs than we have residents. That's been the case for over 50 years, where we've served areas of the West Side that have since grown, but Bel Air and other areas around the West Side, but it has remained stable. And as said, I would argue that the notion of full mitigation, that when an area adds jobs, they have to provide housing, that's a policy that I myself have advocated for, and I think we can do that by strengthening CEQA. But I think looking at some of the policies that Senator Weiner is supporting, it's simply aiming to make the already most dense urban areas even denser, and I don't know how adding more people to these already dense urban areas is going to make things better. I think we need to do a better job of looking at the big picture.
Mayor of Beverly Hills, John Mirisch, with us. Mayor, thank you for being with us and talking about your concerns on the amended SB 50 now in the state Senate.
Thank you so much.
Dare Talk on 89.3 KPECC coming up. We'll take you to Vegas to the Consumer Electronics Show. Every year, the Gadget Show has all kinds of new toys, as well as new tech that maybe has been touted for years, but finally reaches prime time. For example, has 5G wireless reached that point? We'll find out with our tech experts in just 1 minute.